Welcome to the Today's Leader podcast. Building tomorrow's best leaders, today.
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Keep it going. Good job, guys. All right, Paul, I see you.
All right, finish off.
My pleasure to welcome to the Today's Leader podcast, Building Tomorrow's Best Leaders Today. Please welcome the internationally recognized personal branding and online business specialist, Mary Henderson. How are you, Mary?
Hi, Tony. It's so awesome to be here.
It's awesome speaking to you. You're in Melbourne, right?
I am.
A fellow Aussie. It is so rare. For podcast hosting to actually interview and speak with a fellow Aussie. So I feel very comfortable already. So
yeah. I know, I hear you. It's actually nice for me on the other side as well.
So Mary, share with our listeners the Mary Henderson story.
Well, my God, where do I start? What part of my timeline do I start from? I think that's the question. But just in relation to what we're going to be talking about today, I started my relationship with personal branding back in 2000, Tony. It was so 22 years ago when personal Wow. branding meant nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where my discovery actually truly happened. You know, being in the corporate landscape, growing, you know, my presence, you know, in as a leader in the tech industry as well, you know, Yeah. being a very male dominated industry, which it still is today. I started climbing the ranks in the middle management, from middle management upwards. And I had this amazing sliding door moment where, you know, I crossed paths with a new portfolio that I was going to be managing. So, you know, sequence of events happened and I was like, oh my God, I can completely build my brand around solving this problem. And that's where the journey started. And also I recognized in that moment that I could also command my own demand if I got that right, which is exactly what I did. So fast forward 18 months from then, I was headhunted from a multinational tech company based out in California to head up their Asia Pacific region in the capacity of a VP of sales. And that was, they had bought a company in Australia, they acquired a company at $4 million. So they were looking for someone to grow that region. So I built an amazing sales team, grew it from $4 million to $54 million in a four-year period. And wow. One thing that I did in that time frame, Tony, with all my salespeople is I threw out job descriptions and I understood the power of creating individual brands and matching that with a portfolio and who they are in their natural state. So imagine having 30 salespeople that were allowed to be themselves and that had a client that they resonated with. It was unbelievable. So we grew that business. Then in 2005, I started my own software company. It was all web-based software, specifically targeting the academic sector. I found a massive gap in that sector. I knew I could close it. By the way, I'm not a software developer. I just could see that in the tech industry, there were so many moving parts that were opportunities. And I just happened to take that one after I got advice from a venture capitalist. So I was seeking capital to start my business. Yeah. And so I had that business for 7 years, Tony. I have to say to you that it was really hard, you know, starting from an idea and then growing it from nothing to seven figures per year. And that consistently happened year on year, but I was burnt out like you would not believe. And so in 2011, 3 hours after my son was born, I knew in that moment, I had the greatest epiphany of my life that I need to leave and find what I'm meant to do for the rest of my life. So I literally resigned from my own company. And in January 2012, thankfully I merged it with another business. I took a 12-month sabbatical and I was mentored by some incredible, incredible humans, one of which was a professor in philosophy based from Oxford University. Another one was an expert in the emotional body based out in South Africa. Like these were people that had 30 years experience in that space. Yeah. And they took me on this amazing journey. It was all about inner discovery, not outer discovery. I gave up a lot of that fake keeping up with the Joneses life. And then I realized in that 12-month period, especially with my mentor, who was the professor in philosophy, who took me on this amazing journey so that I could see for myself, like literally self-realize that, hang on a minute, I've got all of these, this knowledge, wisdom, and skill set, gifts and talents that I think that it's everyone else has, but maybe everyone does have all that, but they can't deliver it in the way that I can deliver it. So I started playing with that. And of course, coming from a tech background, of course, I had to spreadsheet everything and really look at the detail. Then I suddenly realized, oh, hang on a minute. I really am brilliant at sales. I understand personal branding and how to turn humans into superstars. And I also understand the digital landscape. So if I pull all this together, what problem could I solve? And 3 years later, because it took me 3 years to build my system and the frameworks, here I am today, since 2015, actually doing what I'm meant to be doing.
Excellent. What a story. What a journey. All I'm going to say is, like, wow. So that's huge. So you specialize in personal branding and I guess that concept around purpose as well. So
yes.
Now, I do a little bit of work with businesses, and I work with them to try and define their purpose and to develop the branding of the business, and also in, you know, professional services more particularly around the concept of personal branding. What do we do enough personal branding for corporate executives or people in careers? Is that a concept that they should be looking at as well?
The thing that I've come to realize with a corporate landscape and personal branding, Tony, is that it shouldn't be called personal branding for that sector. It should be called reputation branding. Because if you flip the switch and you look at it from that standpoint, what happens is that people look at personal branding and they automatically think, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be, you know, a Tony Robbins or, you know, so that people get this idea that it's about getting rich quick, okay, or getting famous quick. And you and I both know that's not the truth.
Yeah.
So if we flip the switch and we say, okay, let's look at it from a reputation standpoint, then you've got attention, you know, because then you're saying, okay, so let's start back to front. What legacy do you want to leave? Let's start there. Yeah. Not the front. Let's start from right at the end. And when you can unpack it back to front, that's where you actually get to the core of what that person's individual brand truly means to them.
Yeah.
And the value that that brand then brings into the ecosystem of the organization. So my view around branding in corporate is not really personal branding. It's more reputation branding, because then I've got the attention of the individual, not the individual acting under a corporate banner where there's limitations and boundaries. I don't want to work with that person. I want that person to let go of the boundaries so I can get to the real true person.
Yeah, and that's an interesting way to think about it. I love the concept of legacy, and when I speak with leaders, for example, and we're talking that concept of legacy, I always talk about it in, it's not just when you know John Maxwell has got that famous quote that says people will sum up your life in a sentence, choose it now, and I think so that's so relevant. But it's not just when you pass that people will choose that sentence. It's when you leave, you know, whether you leave a team, leave an organization, leave a business. And I think that's really important. The other thing that I want to pick up on is that every leader in a corporate organization will have, you know, whether we call it a reputational brand, they've already got that brand. People are already assuming that this is what makes that person tick. This is what they're good at. This is their strengths, their weaknesses, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess the work that you do allows them to, well, empowers them to actually choose what that brand, what that reputational branding looks like.
For me, when I'm looking at a personal brand, reputation brand, I take the human being. So that's what I'm working with. And what I'm interested in is understanding what is the value of the currency that you hold. And that currency is made up of your internal inventory. Mm. It's knowledge, it's wisdom, it's skills, it's values, it's your hobbies, it's your it's all the things that make up who you are in your natural state of being.
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested in taking that and making the individual self realize, oh my God, there's currency in that. So, and there's a really easy mathematical formula to this, Tony. All I need to do is say, okay, let's make the assumption that this skill set is something that you've mastered. How many years would you say you've dedicated to that skill or your or your collective inventory? And some people, the people that I work with, they always exceed 10,000 hours, okay? So I don't work with anyone that doesn't have a minimum of 10,000 hours because it's too hard to work with those people who are trying to figure things out. But if you look at it from that standpoint, let's say 10,000 hours, put an hourly value to that. Let's call it $100. Just put it $100, okay? You're starting to see a seven-figure currency. That's the value of that internal inventory. We don't see it like that because we haven't been trained to think like that. We've been trained to be on the hamster wheel and you just keep going and going and going and doing and doing and doing. I'm saying stop doing and let's start being. Two different things. So do you see the difference there? Yeah. That until you recognize your internal currency, you're just going to keep do more certificates. I want to get higher in the corporate landscape. But let's take a step back. What if the corporate landscape's not for you? What if you've got enough inventory that can solve a major problem and then you can actually consult back into that organization and triple your hourly rate? Wouldn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's a absolutely fresh idea, way of looking at it. And I guess so many people develop skills and are always looking at what's my next qualification, what's my next, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess I'm relating to that at the moment because I've been presented a number of different opportunities to go into, have a look at this particular profiling tool. And I'm sitting back at the moment saying, what have I got already? And how is that going to make a positive difference to what it is that I do? And if what I've got already is enough, I just need to potentially be better at what it is that I'm doing. Is that something, a similar sort of a reflection aspect of sitting back and thinking, well, this is what I've got. Let's maximize what I've got.
Exactly. And there's also one more layer I want to add. You know, all those personality tools, I have no interest in those. Like quite literally, people come and see me, they're like, here are all my personality tags that I've done. And I'm like, just throw them in the bin. I have no interest in that. Because I'm interested in you, the human being. If you have to do that because of HR wants you to do that, because they need to put you into a square, because it makes it easier for them to categorize and label you, that's a different story. But I'm not that person. So I'm looking at you, Tony, and only what Tony has inside of Tony. I'm not interested in who Tony aspires to be like. I'm not interested in Tony in what Tony wants to be like. I'm just interested in who Tony is right now. Yeah. And the other thing around that is that, think about this for a moment. In the corporate landscape, whether you're male or female, we're running on complete masculine traits and aspects of ourselves. So all the attributes that we bring to the table are predominantly masculine, which means doing, doing, doing. That's why we seek more, you know, certifications. We want more validation. We want more. So we need to flip that and look at the feminine aspects of us. And when I say feminine, I'm just talking here about there's different attributes that fall and traits that fall under feminine and fall under masculine. For example, power is a masculine trait, but it can also be a feminine trait as well.
Yeah.
You know, it depends how you use it. And so what we've got to do is find that balance. And so when you're looking at the inventory of an individual, it's the inventory of that individual and what makes that individual light up. That's where we've got to get to.
Yeah. So true. The what you were saying about profiling tools is really interesting as well, because we can read our horoscope and we can say, I'm definitely a Scorpio. But if you read the traits around a Capricorn or a Gemini, you're going to say, oh, maybe I'm a Gemini, you know. So we can always see what we want to see in something that is coming through around us.
100%.
And I'm always reminded of that when I do work with companies and organizations using the tool that I use is the DISC tool, because
yep.
There are some benefits in there, especially in relation to communication and how we respond to each other without putting people into a box, because I think that at the end of the day, we are absolutely unique. So let me just yep. ask a question, because it's one that gets a lot of people fluxed and stressed, and that's the concept of purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, Simon Sinek wrote the book, Let's Start With Why. So then all of a sudden we created, it was almost like that was the creation of an industry around people going out to find their why. And so many people get stressed with that when the why doesn't necessarily pop up in front of us after hours and hours and weeks and days of research. So walk me through what you believe, or the true meaning that you see of purpose, and then let's have a chat about how people can discover that, I guess.
Yeah. I love that question. The first thing is that I believe in the power of asking how, not why. I think why is just a spiral, because you're why can't I have that? Why, what? So to me, it's how yeah. can I get that? How can I get to that next step? How, and so the how is a much more expansive question yeah. rather than why, but that's just my opinion. For me, where purpose actually lives, Tony, it's actually really easy. Most people are looking for purpose outside of themselves. Mm. If I do this, I'll find my purpose. If I go there, I'll find my purpose. For me, purpose is all an inside job. And again, it all comes down to who am I in my natural state of being? What do I look like? What do my attributes actually look like when I'm in my natural state of being? What can I do with ease and grace and my eyes closed that make me light up? When I can understand all yeah. of those attributes in its totality and its truth, then that's the inventory that I've been gifted with. That's my God gift as part of my DNA structure. And I need to find how I can convert that inventory into a commercial outcome. Mm. And my purpose lives there. Once I can appreciate that that's who I am in my natural state of being, then I can do something with that. That's purpose, because our purpose should not be about the job that we do or yeah. the vocation that we choose. Our purpose should be about the mission, the legacy, and the service. That's it. Because if you start thinking and attaching to purpose with, oh, if I do that, then I'm going to make that much money, or I'm going to be famous, or I'm going to the validation. Mm. Anytime validation comes into purpose, it's not your purpose. So if I look at myself, I don't see what I do as a job or a vocation. I just see it as what I'm meant to be doing, because when I wake up, I'm already lit up, like I'm ready to go. I don't see what I do as a job description. I see what I do as what I'm meant to be doing based on these gifts and talents that I've been given that I can do with ease and grace.
Yeah.
And that's it's as simple as that. So we've got to stop looking out and start looking in.
Okay, that's incredibly insightful in so many ways, because, you know, there's a couple of different things that we can really start to unpack there. So purpose is going to come from within. It's going to be so does it just pop up, or
no?
Is there a journey that we go on to discover what the purpose is? Our purpose.
Remember what. Yes, I just shared before about my own journey when I had my mentor, and you know, and I had to go through some pretty rigorous, you know, a process with him to actually get to this core. Yeah. And at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, how come I didn't figure this out right from the beginning? The key is to unpack that inventory. That's the starting point. And we just have to write it like as simple as, what are the things that I can do really easily? Like, for example, get me on a sales call, I can sell ice to an Eskimo, because that's easy to me. I know how to do that. You know, get me to sit down and design an algorithm, I can do that too, because that's how my brain thinks. I'm a zero and one sort of a girl, right? And then I just love it. It's so easy. And then I can look at personal branding. But personal branding for me was very experiential. However, connected to sales, that is how I've always sold. And that is how I built my sales team, based on that idea around the individual and looking at, you know, so, and I was able to create a whole software around that.
Yeah.
But that's because I took time out to unpack it. I've always said, Tony, always, I wish that there was a law that every human being in the world had to take a 12-month sabbatical by the age of 40.
Yeah.
That would be the most amazing thing that any human could ever gift themselves, because the other side looks very different.
Yeah. So let's talk personal branding, and let's talk around how, so we've mentioned the concept of commercializing, you know, purpose and personal branding in some respects. And there's probably some people that are listening to this and saying, commercializing, and getting really quite uncomfortable with that sort of wording. Why is that important for us, or is that important for us?
Absolutely it is, because a lot of people go out and invest in this idea of personal branding. So for example, I'm going to get all my colors up, and I'm going to get a brand, and I'm going to build a website, and I'm going to look like I'm just, you know, an influencer, and everyone's just going to come to me. Now, I'm going to say that that's the worst mindset to have, because what do you do, Tony? What do you do when you've got all of that collateral in your hands? If it can't be commercialized, it's just a beautiful document that shows you all of your color palettes, your branding guidelines, essentially, okay? That doesn't pull people towards you. That's just, it's neutral, okay? There's no value in that. To commercialize your personal brand, we need to understand, going back to what I've been talking about, and that is your internal inventory.
Yeah.
The internal inventory is you positioning yourself as an expert that can solve a problem based on that internal inventory.
Yeah.
That internal inventory is where that's my genius zone. That's where I can actually create an entire program around that inventory, because that's the value. The value is there. That's where you can show up as a consultant and charge your $100,000, $200,000 because you genuinely have got something to bring to the table that can solve a problem without a shadow of a doubt, for sure, right? So it's not hope-based, it's outcome-based. It has to be outcome-based. And so when we're building our person, when we're defining our personal brand, the brand is all about, how do I want the outside world to perceive me? How do I feel in my authentic state? How do I create content that allows my true persona to shine through words and visuals? What language, tone, and voice do I use when I'm on a podcast interview or doing a keynote? All of these elements that I'm talking about have to be consistent and congruent, that's the key word, with the specialization. So you don't have to be a consultant or self-employed to go through this process. You could be a senior executive and go through exactly the same process. And so why is that important? How is commercialization associated with that? Well, it's really easy. When you start to create a voice around your specialization and what you stand for and your passions, you're going to pull in the right people who want to become a part of your ecosystem. And people start talking about you. You're leaving your brand signature behind wherever you go, your footprint. And then you create your own, you command your own demand, which is exactly how I operate. You've got to have the power to command your demand, and the only way that you can do that is through this process.
Wow. And through all of that, you're ultimately going to be, because you're leaving your footprint, you are going to be creating that concept of legacy as you continue.
100%. Spot on.
It all fits. So Mary, you mentioned very early in our conversation mentors and the importance of them. Why is it important for a career executive to have mentors and not to try and nut through and bang your head against walls by yourself?
What we need to realize, Tony, and you know this better than anyone else, is that we get stuck in a paradigm based on our past experience. That's it. The ego self can't go beyond what we know right up until this moment. So it constantly is looking for confirmation only from your past experience. So if I can't solve a really big problem outside of my paradigm, my brain is just going to search from all my past experiences. Yeah. So I'm always stuck, always back. No matter what I do, I'm still going to come back to that starting point. And it really is an uphill battle. When we transition and we say, you know what, I'm going to put my ego in my back pocket and I'm going to get a mentor to actually open me up, my heart and my mind need to be open up. I need new knowledge and I need to be able to push myself internally as well. And this is what a great mentor can do. A great mentor works with both the masculine and the feminine, the brain and the heart, the logic, and also the non-logic, you know, the subjective self. We have to bring all of these elements into the mix because that's who we are, and a great mentor can do that. And so, and also, not to mention, when you push your boundaries and you outgrow that version that you were, how do we outgrow? Outgrowing is just basically self-awareness. The moment you become self-aware that something no longer serves you, you can never be that person that you were 1 minute ago. You just can't. So mentors have the capacity and the experience, and one more important element, wisdom. Yeah. That's what a great mentor has, and that's why we need them. It's the wisdom that we need, not their processes, not their systems, because that comes with it anyway. But the wisdom is the key.
Yeah, excellent. Great answer. Mary, that everything you've spoken about today just makes so much sense, and obviously you've been on a wonderful journey to get to where you are now. Who's been the biggest inspiration for you during that journey?
I think that the biggest inspiration was actually my mentors, all my mentors that I've had. But I think the professor in philosophy changed the trajectory of my whole life. I think that that for me is one person that has just opened me up to, you know, a world that I think I was always interested in, you know, different aspects of myself. I'm a very, very, very deep person, really a real thinker, critical thinker. So I've always been that person. But to go even deeper has just been a real gift. So I would say that he's been my greatest gift.
Excellent. What about, tell us about your relationship with failure.
I love failure, Tony. I absolutely love it. Yeah. And the reason I love it, for someone that builds systems, you know, who relies on feedback loops. Yeah. Okay. For me, failure is a feedback loop. Gotcha. So I totally embrace it. I've got two young boys and it's a normal thing in our family. You know, they learn through failure. I am so proud of my failures because I wouldn't be where I am today. So I have, for me, failure is 100% a feedback loop.
Yeah. Good way to think about it. And it certainly shouldn't be something that stops us. It shouldn't be a fatal thing that's, and unfortunately we do have people that feel like that. So what about your vision, Mary? Where are you moving to, and what does this thing look like in whatever time frame?
I think for me, Tony, now my entire focus is to really expand my group coaching. So I've really evolved. My business has evolved, you know, like quite significantly over the last 2 years, especially, you know, since COVID. And for me, it's really about building on my group coaching. So really expanding that. I love it. I think that, and the reason why I do want to expand it is because building a tribe is so critical to people who are starting on the journey of not just self-discovery, but transitioning from corporate into their own business, whether it's a coach or a consultant. It's really hard to do it on your own. So when you've got a tribe of people that are like you, that you can lean on, there's real power in that. And I see this every week, Tony. That does it never fails me. So that for me is my absolute mission, is to be able to build a massive tribe and transition people just beautifully from corporate into the other side.
Excellent. So if someone's listening to this, Mary, and wants to make contact with you, how can they do that?
please email me, mary@maryhendersoncoaching.com. You can apply for a free 45-minute coaching call with me. I can do a full assessment on you, see where you're at, what you need to do, where you're going. And that's also maryhendersoncoaching.com/apply. And LinkedIn, just look for Mary Henderson Coaching with a pink circle around my face, and please connect with me there as well.
Excellent, Mary. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today, and thank you for investing in today's leaders.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
If you're looking to build better leadership skills, check out the Today's Leader website at todaysleader.com.au. We really are driving a leadership revolution to build tomorrow's best leaders today. Today's Leader is a collective, the mindset to make a difference, the ability to create an impact. Think and Grow Business hosts our Today's Leader Mastermind, Think and Grow Business, where we focus on personal, professional, and business growth. Book your free 30-minute discovery call right from the homepage at thinkandgrowbusiness.com.au. Don't forget, wherever you are standing stronger, braver, and wiser. Don't forget the golden rule. Don't be an arsehole. I'll see you all again next week. Bye for now.